My time grows short, and we have yet another journey to make.
Where now?
Come. This is your last visit to the past, Ebenezer. Here in this little room, with a fair young girl by your side. Do you recognize yourself, Ebenezer?
No, 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 no. Spare me this.
You're older now. A man in the prime of life. Your face has begun to wear the signs of care and avarice. Your eyes are greedy. The eager, restless eyes of a miser.
No, no, please.
She knows it, too. That girl by your side. There are tears in her eyes.
It matters little to you. Very little, I know that.
Belle, have I changed toward you?
When we were engaged, we were both poor.
Was it better then? Better to be poor?
Better, at least to be happy. You're changed. You were another man then.
I was a boy. You blame me because I've grown wiser? Have I ever tried to break our engagement?
In words? No, never.
In what then?
In a changed nature, in an altered spirit, in everything that made my love of any value in your sight. So I release you from your promise.
Belle?
Oh, at first, it may cause you pain to lose me, a very brief pain, but soon it will be dim, like a half-remembered dream, an unprofitable dream, and you will be glad to be awake from such a dream. May you be happy in the life you have chosen, Ebenezer, for the love of whom you once loved.
That's enough! Show me no more! Take me home!
These were shadows of the things that have been. That they are what they are, do not blame me. One shadow more. Come.
No, no more, no more.
Do you see this man, Ebenezer Scrooge? This man might have been you, and the woman beside him, your wife. And that girl might have been your daughter, Ebenezer Scrooge. She might have called you father. She might have been the springtime in the haggard winter of your life.
Spirit, let me go. Show me no more.
Listen, now. While they speak, Ebenezer.
Belle, I saw an old friend of yours today.
Who was it?
Guess.
How can I? I know. Mr. Scrooge.
Mr. Scrooge it was. I passed his office window. It wasn't shuttered. And there was a candle inside, so I couldn't help seeing him. His partner, Marley, lies at the point of death, I hear. And there's Scrooge. He sat all alone. Quite alone in the world, I do believe.
Spirit! Spirit, I can't bear anymore. Leave me. Haunt me no more. Take me back. Take me back.
Awakened suddenly and sat bolt upright in his own bed. He remembered the words of Marley's ghost and wondered from which direction the second specter would appear. At that moment, nothing between a baby and a rhinoceros would have astonished him very much. Now, though, being prepared for almost anything, he was not by any means prepared for nothing. And consequently, when no shape appeared, he was taken with a violent fit of trembling. 5 minutes, 10 minutes, a quarter of an hour went by, yet nothing came. Then, as he sat in his bed, he became aware gradually of a great blaze of ruddy light, which seemed to shine upon him from the adjoining room. Scrooge got up softly and shuffled in his slippers to the door. It was his own sitting room, no doubt about it, but it had undergone a surprising transformation. The walls and ceiling were so hung with living green that it looked a perfect grove. From every part of which, brightly gleaming berries glistened, and such a mighty blaze went roaring up the chimney as had never known in Scrooge's time or for many, many a winter season gone by. Heaped up on the floor to form a kind of throne were turkeys, geese, game, poultry, great joints of meat, sucking pigs, long wreaths of sausages, mince pies, plum puddings, barrels of oysters, red-hot chestnuts, and seething bowls of punch that made the chamber dim with their delicious steam. In easy state upon his couch, there sat a jolly giant, glorious to see, who bore a glowing torch, in shape not unlike Plenty's horn, and held it up, high up, to shed its light on Scrooge as he came peeping round the door.
Come in, Ebenezer Scrooge. Know me better, man.
Who? Who?
I am the ghost of Christmas Present. Look upon me. You've never seen the like of me before.
Well, you're different from the other spirits. You're tall, almost a giant. And that great torch you carry.
Its light pours into the homes of rich and poor alike.
Spirit, take me where you will. Last time I went against my will and I learnt a lesson which is working now. If you have anything to teach me, let me profit by it.
Touch my robe, Ebenezer Scrooge. Touch my robe.
Where have you brought me, Spirit?
A humble dwelling in a humble street.
It's humble enough.
Yet there is happiness there.
Who are these people? Who's that woman and the children?
These are the family of your clerk, Bob Cratchit. His wife, dressed in a twice-turned gown, but brave in ribbons, laying the table for their Christmas dinner. And there assisting her is her daughter, Belinda. And the young man with the fork in the stuffing, that's Master Peter Cratchit. And the two little Cratchits, listen, Scrooge.
Here's Martha, Mother.
Martha!
Why, bless your heart alive, Martha, my dear. Merry Christmas to you.
Merry Christmas, Mother.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
How late you are, my dear.
Oh, we deal a work to finish up last night, and we had to clear away this morning.
Well, never mind. So long as you're here now, sit ye down before the fire and have a warm. Lord bless ye.
Where's Father?
He's been to church with Tiny Tim. They'll be along directly.
How is Tiny Tim, Mother? Any better at all?
Sometimes I think he is, and sometimes I think, oh, dear God, if anything should happen to Tiny Tim.
Mother, you mustn't even think of such a thing.
Here they are.
There's Tiny Tim.
Merry Christmas, everybody. Martha, welcome, my dear.
Merry Christmas, Father, and Tim.
Merry Christmas, Martha.
Oh, Tim, you darling. Oh, Father, I'm so glad to be home.
And we're glad to have you here, Martha.
And how did little Tim behave in church, Bob?
Oh, as good as gold. And better, too.
I like church. Oh, they sang the nicest songs. I hope people saw me there.
Saw you there? And why, Tim?
Well, don't you see? Because I'm lame. And if they saw my crutch, it might be pleasant for them to remember on Christmas who it was made lame beggars walk and blind men see.
Oh, bless you, my son.
Are we ready?
Yes,
come
children,
on.
We're all ready. Come, take your places now. And Bob, wait your turn. There's plenty. Stuffing and dressing and plum pudding for all of you. Martha, you take care of Tiny Tim.
Yes, Mother.
You see that he eats plenty. He must get tall and well now. Sit down, everyone.
Now, my dears, shall we say grace?
Father, Spirit, tell me if Tiny Tim will live.
I see a vacant seat in the poor chimney corner and a crutch without an owner, carefully preserved.
Thank you so much.
Oh, no, kind Spirit. Say he'll be saved. Say he'll live.
If these shadows remain unaltered by the future, Ebenezer, the child will die.
Amen.
Amen.
And now, my dears, with such a dinner, a toast. A Merry Christmas to us all, and God bless us.
Amen.
God bless us, everyone.
And now, A toast to Mr. Scrooge. I give you a toast to Mr. Scrooge, the founder of the feast.
The founder of the feast, indeed. Who pays you all of 15 shillings a week. I wish I had him here. I'd give him a piece of my mind to feast on, and I hope he'd have a good appetite for it.
Oh, my dear. The children. Christmas Day.
Well, it should be Christmas Day, on which one drinks the health of such an odious, stingy, unfeeling man as Mr. Scrooge. You know he is, Bob. Nobody knows it better than you, poor fellow.
My dear, Christmas Day.
I'll drink his health for your sake and the day's, not for his. Long life to him, a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. He'll be very merry and very happy, I have no doubt.
And I say, God bless him too, Mother and everyone.
Yeah, yeah.
There was nothing of high mark in all of this. They were not a handsome family, these Cratchits. They were not well dressed. Their shoes were far from being waterproof. Their clothes were scanty and had known very likely the inside of a pawnbroker's. But they were happy, grateful, pleased with one another, and contented with the time. When at last they faded, Scrooge had his eye upon them, and especially on Tiny Tim, until the last. Many calls Scrooge made that night with the ghost of Christmas present. Down among the miners they went, who labored in the bowels of the earth, and out to the sea among the sailors at their watch, dark, ghostly figures in their several stations. Much they saw, and far they went, and many places they visited, but always with a happy end. The spirits stood beside sick beds, and they were cheerful on foreign lands, and they were close at home by poverty, and it was rich in almshouse, hospital, and jail, where vain man in his little brief authority had not made fast the door and barred the spirit out. The spirit left his blessing. It was a long night, if it was only a night. And it was strange, too, that while Scrooge remained unaltered in his outward form, the ghost grew older, clearly older.
My life upon this globe is very brief, Ebenezer. It ends tonight.
Tonight?
Tonight at midnight. Hark, the hour has come.
Oh, no, 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 not yet, not yet. There are still more things I wish to learn.
Scrooge looked about him for the ghost. It had vanished, and he found himself once more in his bed, in his dressing gown, and his nightcap on his head. He heard the clock strike, and then he remembered the prediction of old Jacob Marley, and lifted up his eyes, beheld the third spirit, a solemn phantom, shouldered in black, draped and hooded, coming toward him, slowly and silently, like a mist. On the ground.
I know you. You are the ghost of Christmas yet to come. And you'll show me the shadows of things that have not happened but will happen in the time before us. Answer me, spirit, ghost of the future. I fear you more than any specter I've seen. Yet I know your purpose is to do me good. And as I hope to live to be another man from what I was, lead on, the night's waning fast and the time, it's precious. Spirit, Why have you brought me here again? Why have you brought me to Bob Cratchit's home? But it's not the same. What? Why is it so quiet? So very quiet here.
Mother. Mother, please.
Oh, my son. My little son. Tiny Tim. I loved him so.
Oh, Mother dear, you mustn't. It's almost time for Father to be home. Don't let him see you crying.
Yes. Yes, Martha.
He's late tonight.
He walks slower than he used to, and yet I've known him to walk very fast indeed with Tiny Tim on his shoulder.
So have I, Mother.
But he was light to carry, and his father loved him so that it was no trouble. No trouble. Bob.
Good evening, my dear.
You're late, Bob.
Yes, I'm sorry, my dear. I went to the churchyard today. I wish you could have gone with me. It would have done your heart good to see how sweet and peaceful a place it is. But you'll see it often. I promised him. Yes, I promised Tiny Tim that we'd walk there on many Sundays.
Father, dear.
It's God's will, Bob.
Well, I'm trying to understand it, my dear. Oh, my son, Tiny Tim, I loved you so.
Oh, that's cruel. Cruel, Spirit. Can't you give me one ray of hope that I may change all that? That Tiny Tim may live? Taking me now, here, on a common street. Spirit, what is there for me to learn here? Who are those men?
I don't know much about it either way. I only know he's dead.
When did he die?
Last night, I believe.
It's likely to be a very cheap funeral, for upon my life, I don't know anybody to go to it. Suppose we make up a party and volunteer?
I don't mind going if a lunch is provided.
Come to think of it, I'll bet I was his best friend.
What?
We used to nod to each other when we met in the street.
Spirit, help me. Who is this man that died? Is there no one to mourn the poor creature? No one to follow him to his grave? Perhaps they'll give him a green grave, at least, like poor Tiny Tim, perhaps. Spirit, where are we now? Merciful heaven, a churchyard. Overrun by grass and weeds and choked up with too much burying. Desolate, lonely, and crumbling gravestone. Spirit, before I draw nearer to that gravestone, answer me one question. Are these shadows of things that will be, or are they shadows of things that may be? Will you not speak to me, Spirit? What is that grave to which you point? Ebenezer Scrooge! Ebenezer Scrooge! No, no, Spirit! No, no, hear me! I'm not the man I was! Why show me this? If I am past all hope, tell me what I can change. These dreadful shadows that you've shown me by an altered life, I'll honor Christmas in my heart. I'll try to keep it all year. I'll live in the past, the present, and the future, and I'll not shut out the lessons that they teach me. Tell me, Spirit, oh, go on, tell me. Tell me that I can sponge away the writing on that stone. Spirit, I beg you. Spirit, I beg you. Spirit, I promise. I promise on my knees, I promise. I promise I'll... What's this? It's my own drape. I'm home. It's my own bed. In my own room. And the sun is shining. It's clear. It's bright. There's no fog. Oh, what a beautiful day. A glorious, glorious. Hey, boy. Boy.
Yes, sir.
What's today?
What's that, sir?
What day is it, my fine fellow?
Today? Why, it's Christmas Day.
Ha ha, it's Christmas Day. Then I haven't missed it. The spirits have done it all in one night. All in one night. Heavens be praised.
How's that, sir?
Listen, my lad. Do you know where the poulterer is? In the next street?
I should say I do.
Ha ha, an intelligent boy. A remarkable boy. Tell me, do you know if they sold that prize turkey that was hanging in the window?
The one as big as me.
What a delightful boy. It's a pleasure to talk to you. Yes, my buck.
It's hanging there now, sir.
That's wonderful. Now go down, will you? And tell them to send it to Bob Cratchit and his family on Broad Street. And mind you, they're not to know who paid for it. Now go along. Hurry, 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 my lad. Here, wait a minute. Here's half a crown for your trouble.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And a Merry Christmas, sir.
And a Merry Christmas to you, my boy. I don't know what to do. I'm as light as a feather. I'm as happy as an angel. I'm as merry as a schoolboy. A Merry Christmas. A Merry Christmas to everyone. A Happy New Year to all the world. Woo-hoo! Hello! My dear sir, how do you do?
I beg your pardon?
Well, you, sir, aren't you the gentleman who came to my office in regard to the charity?
Why, yes, sir.
Well, a Merry Christmas to you.
Yes, sir.
Allow me to ask your pardon, sir, and will you have the goodness to accept? And I prefer to whisper this.
What? But Lord bless me, my dear Mr. Scrooge. Are you serious?
If you please, now. Not a farthing less. And a great many back payments are included in it, I assure you. Will you do me that favor?
Well, my dear sir, I don't know what to say to such.
No, don't say anything, please. Come and see me. Will you? Will you? Will you come and see me?
I will. I will, indeed.
Thank you. I'm much obliged to you. I thank you 50 times. Bless you. Merry Christmas.
Next morning, Scrooge was early at his office. He went early for a reason. If he could only be there first and catch Bob Cratchit coming late, that was the thing he set his heart upon. And he did it. Yes, he did it. The clock struck 9. No Bob. A quarter past? No Bob. Scrooge sat with his door wide open that he might see him come in late. At last, he came. His hat was off before he opened the door. His comforter, too. He was on his stool in a jiffy, driving away with his pen as if he were trying to overtake 9 o'clock.
15, 15 is 21, 6 and carry the 1, 24, carry the 2, 31, the 8, and the 9.
Hello, you Cratchit!
Yes, sir?
Step this way, Cratchit, if you please. Cratchit! What do you mean by coming in at this time of the day?
I'm very sorry, sir. I am behind my time.
You are, yes. Yes, I think you are.
Oh, it's only once a year, Mr. Scrooge. It should not be repeated. I was making rather merry yesterday, sir.
I'll tell you what, my friend. I'll not stand this sort of thing any longer, and therefore, Bob Cratchit, I'm about to raise your salary.
Mr. Scrooge, are you quite yourself, sir?
No, thank heaven, I'm not quite myself. Merry Christmas, Bob. Merry Christmas, my good fellow. A merrier Christmas than I've given you in many a year. I shall raise your salary, and we'll see what we can do for Tiny Tim and the rest of your family, huh? And we'll discuss that this very afternoon over a Christmas bowl of smoking bishop. Make up the fire, make it up, and buy another coal scuttle before you dot another I, Bob Cratchit.
Scrooge was better than his word. He did it all, and infinitely more. To Tiny Tim, who did not die, he was a second father. He became as good a friend, as good a master, and as good a man as the good old city knew, or any other good old city, town, or borough in the good old world. Some people laughed to see the alteration in him, but he let them laugh and little heeded them. His own heart laughed. That was quite enough for him. He had no further intercourse with spirits, but lived upon the total abstinence principle ever afterwards. And it was always said of him that he knew how to keep Christmas well, if any man alive possessed the knowledge. May that be truly said of us, of all of us. And so, as Tiny Tim observed, God bless us, everyone.